service if you need to get yours today, and she'll get it to you as soon as she, do the parents pick up their kids and she's sure all the children are safe. Amen. Well, we're talking about senior citizen spaghetti dinner. Brother Stan said I was getting close, wasn't there yet, but I'm holding on all I got. Digging in. Somebody was asking me, talking about how young folks today, they don't really pay, give much respect a lot of times. Sister Barbara gave me a joke this morning, howl, that I thought was pretty good. It said, I've always taught to respect my elders, but the longer I live, the harder it's getting to find any. Hallelujah. Well, it's a good thing to live long life, amen. But it is absolutely getting more difficult. I used to, when I first started pastoring, I was usually younger than everybody I pastored almost. And now I'm getting to where I'm actually older than people. And I don't know if I like it or not, but it's just part of the way it is. I tell my kids all the time, I say, you'll wake up one day and you'll be a lot older. After 20 years will flash. Time you get out of high school, the next 20 years will be gone. Boom, then 30. I said, it just moves right on. And of course, when I hit 40, it was a little tough on me. And Stacy's always like, you big cry, baby, it's not a big deal. Well, she's a lot younger than me, and y'all can both tell by looking at her, but she's going to be hitting 40 here in just a couple years, and I'm expecting to see if she cries any a little bit, but I'm inching towards 50. I got one more year in the 40s, and then I'll be moving on, but I'm still going to come eat spaghetti with y'all anyway. Sister Kat, I didn't hear Brother Stan. I always say the reason I try not to preach too long, but they say that we're conditioned to television and that we only can hold our attention for 8 minutes at a time because there's a commercial break about every 8 minutes. And so a lot of times you go into commercial break, and so I have to preach through your commercial and then pick you back up on the other side of the commercial. And that's what happened, Brother Stan, when I didn't hear you mention Sister Kathy going to speak for us Wednesday night. She's going to talk on a subject that's very difficult in this day and age because of the very way that people believe. She's going to talk on the New Age. New Age has crept into the church, and she's probably going to say some things that some of you might find new and interesting. Some of you may not like some of the things she'll have to say. She told me that oftentimes that people find it very difficult to believe that things that maybe they're involved in or have been involved in or in the church or New Age. But, you know, it's to your interest to learn all that you can and make sure that you don't let any of that New Age creep into your life. Don't have any part of that kind of stuff because it's going to only try to deceive you, and it's the spirit of Antichrist is what it is. So we want to be aware of that, and it would be great if you could come Wednesday night. Normally we do the Bible study in the fellowship hall after we eat. We're going to eat and move out here into the fellowship hall, the sanctuary. From the fellowship hall, if you do come and you don't want to eat, you can just gather right here in the sanctuary. But it'll be very interesting Wednesday night to hear Sister Kathy teach us about this very topic of New Age. Praise God. Father, we thank you this morning for your mighty power, for your hand, for your mercy, for your grace. God, we pray that you will reach down and touch in this service today. Anoint this preacher under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, hide me behind your cross. Let me preach not my words, but yours. Lord, let the Holy Spirit use me today to preach your word. God, let it go forth and find ears to hear and hearts to receive. That, Lord, your word would take root, take grow, and that they would have a good foundation to grow on. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. James 2, verse 19 today. We've been studying the book of James on Sundays. As we're going into this new year, and it's not an easy book because it deals with a lot of things that people don't like. But verse 19 in the second chapter of James says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Amen. Let's read that again. Thou just one doesn't make them saved. He had to bring them to the knowledge of who? Jesus Christ. Because we know that the only way to be saved is through Christ Jesus. Now, millions believe in God, and millions would tell you, oh, I believe in God. I remember as a boy, I thought just because I was an American, I was a Christian. I didn't know any different. I didn't mean to know something wrong. I didn't know any better. That's what I thought. And the opinion of man has been that John Wayne mentality, you know, that old John Wayne, just, you know, I'm a man and I believe in God and country, red, white, and blue. And that's good. No, that's not good enough. That won't save you just because you believe in God. Just because you say there is a God won't save you. The only Savior that has come to mankind came 2,000 years ago and he died on the cross of Calvary. The only way to be saved is through Christ Jesus and through his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. I have to know today that by the blood of Jesus Christ and his blood alone, I can be saved. My name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and every sin washed away, every iniquity, every transgression taken out. My name written in that Book of Life only by the blood of Christ Jesus. Oh, well, Brother Vaughn, you know, I don't believe you have to get all crazy about God and be a fanatic. Oh, but you will when you find Jesus. Well, you know, they say they're saved, but they're not very excited about Jesus. They ain't really met the Jesus yet. Amen? They know of Jesus, but they haven't met him. See, there's a difference between knowing of God, knowing there's a God, and then people say, well, I know, I believe in Jesus. Well, brother, you can believe in him, but do you know the man Christ Jesus? Amen. You can believe in somebody and believe that they're real, but that don't mean you know. We're not trying to get you just to know that there's a Jesus. We don't want you just to know that Jesus died 2,000 years ago. We don't want you just to know that his blood will wash away your sins. We want you to know Christ Jesus and to allow him the opportunity to move in your life and to do miracles and changes that only he can do. I know that oftentimes it's said that, well, you know, you believe in God, that you're good, and you're in good shape. James is basically saying to them that just because you believe in God doesn't make you any different. The only thing that it truly does is separate you from the fool. Because Psalm 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So even though I may say there's a God, that still has not put me in a place of salvation. Even though they say 90% of Americans believe in God. Well, they don't say what God, they just believe in God. You'll meet a lot of men, and they'll say, well, I just, you know, doing the best I can. I just want to do it my way. Well, that's an old song, Saint Frank Sinatra sang it. And Elvis sang it. Man, I did it my way. I could go on, but I won't. The song, he does it his way. Well, you and I today, we can do it all our way, all we want, but it does not change the fact that what we must do is find his way. My way won't save me. My way won't change me. My way will only get me involved in some kind of foolishness of man that puts me in a class sitting around with some people. I remember when I was in the Marines, I was backslidden, running from God, and I got to drinking and partying and got myself in some trouble, and they told me, they said, you're going to go to a drinking class. I said, why? I already know how to drink. Oh, no, no. You quit being smart. We're going to send you to a class, and you're going to learn about how to not let alcohol run your life. I went and got sat down in that class. They put us in a big circle. And the guy got up. He was telling all of us, talking. And he went around the crowd. And then, boy, he said, now tell us what you did. Tell us about what's going on in your life. because it ain't none of your business. Oh, man, he said, I'm going to tell you something. I've looked at your record. I know you got problems. I said, I already know that. I knew what my problem was. It wasn't because I needed some psycho Bible telling me why I drank. I know why I drank. Oh, you knew why you drank? Oh, I knew why I was drinking. I knew why I was getting in trouble. I know why I was acting out. I know why I was acting like a fool. You know why? It wasn't because my mom and daddy mistreated me. It wasn't because somebody talked ugly to me. It wasn't because I was mistreated. And I did. And when I played sports, they kept scoring.
Because Christ is the life.
You can't change this gospel. Hallelujah. You can't change what it means. You can't change what the Word of God says. It will not change for you. It will not change for me. It is what it is because God has given us that Word with His faithfulness and His truth. Many times, I don't remember what we were talking about. We were talking about judgment. I can tell you one of the reasons that God has a judgment. I think I was listening to somebody talking about the great white one, just where the saints will be judged. And they were talking about how, why is it that we have to stand before the Lord? Well, there's a couple reasons. One of the main reasons, though, is because He said that He would judge every man. You see, even though we're saved, let's say the rapture takes place. We're all going to the rapture. Well, we know that we were saved, but we wouldn't win the rapture. Amen? Well, I'm in the rapture, or I'm already in heaven because I died. But when we get to that time of judgment for the Christian, what is God going to be judging? Is He going to judge me on my sin? No, because your sin has been what? Washed away by the blood of Christ Jesus. If you try to tell God about your sins, you know what? God's going to tell you, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, Brother Ron, you know, I'm not perfect. God knows that. That's why Jesus comes. That's why He has Jesus as our advocate. Why? Because He knows we can't make it on our own. He knows we can't bring about the answer, but Christ can. Christ is that answer today, church. Christ is the one who will bring the peace and the joy in that heart and in that life. The reason that He judges is because He's true and He's faithful. He's going to show the sinner, hey, you're being judged, but I'm also judging those who know Me. Because I am God, and I'm faithful to My Word. And He said that everybody who knows Him, who has accepted His Son, Jesus Christ, will be saved. I know many folks say, well, Brother Ron, you say things like, you know, well, none of us are perfect. I'm perfect. No, you're not. Don't lie to yourself. Well, I don't sin. Good. You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to sin. We're not talking about just giving you a free bill to sin and do many people excuse, well, I live for God. I live for God if, you know, that hadn't happened in my life. Everybody in this room has a soul. Some of you had good parents, some of you had horrible parents. Some of you had mediocre parents. Some of you had a good life, some of you a bad life. My son ain't in here right now, so I'm gonna tell on him this morning. Morning, I told you, get up, go and lock the gate, lock your dogs up. Got out of that bed, and mama heard his mama, I hate my life. You know what he said? I said, no, he said he hated his life. I said, is that right? I said, you hate your life now, just wait. Because I'm going to get you up cracked on everything. Come on. Hey, you hate your life now, you're going to think it's bad. You don't know what's bad. You don't know what it is every day to get up and have to be at a grocery store every day off. People say, Brother Ron, why don't you love sports so much? Because if I didn't do sports, I had to work at the store. My family owned a store. That's why I used to play basketball. I was the worst basketball player in the world. My dad had scholarships to play basketball. I had family that had basketball, so I had none. Nobody. When I got a basketball court, I never dribbled, I think, one time in my entire 2-year career of basketball. I dribbled one time home because I accidentally stole the ball from somebody, and I dribbled up, and they got close to me, and I stopped and did a jump shot. Wasn't much of a jump, but it was a shot. Of course, it didn't go in. But the rest of the time, I was that guy, when I got the ball, I passed it off. It's like a hot potato to me, man. Give me that. I don't want to care. Somebody else take it. So I played basketball just to get out of going to that store. I loved football. I was good in football, but, you know, football was long, several months. It was great. But I knew what it was to have to work. I knew what it was to have a dad that didn't let you lay in bed and have no Saturday or Sunday. I mean, there wasn't no such a thing. I know what it is to have that kind of life. But you know what? That didn't do anything to me. It helped me. Amen? What you need to do, and it's not psychobabble, because you know I don't, what do you call them fancy fellows with a big degree? Anybody know? Who? I got a PhD. Pentecostal hairdo. Anybody know? Huh? There you go. I can barely say that word. But I know one thing. All the education they got, I got more for you than they do. You want to go pay them $100 an hour? Go pay them $100 an hour. You can come here. Amen. Give an offer. Hey, you don't have to give an offering. And I'll tell you exactly. Because it's Jesus. Well, I got that. You need Jesus. I got help on you. You need Jesus. He's the great physician. He's the high priest. Brother, you got financial problems? Jesus is your answer. Whatever may be going on, Jesus is the answer. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Ron, you got an easy job if you got an answer to everything I do. What's the problem in Washington? They need Jesus. What's the problem in Saudi Arabia? They need Jesus. What's the problem with Israel? They need Jesus. Why did Hitler do what he did? Because he needed Jesus. Come on. Why did that man kill all of them? Because he needed Jesus. Well, Jesus is the answer, and that is the hope of all of mankind. So just to know God's not good enough. Oh, thank the Lord. When you know Jesus, then not only do you know God, but the Bible says you're back in fellowship with God. Hallelujah. Today, I can have fellowship with God because of Jesus. Would you stand with me this morning? Because of Jesus.